I am the worst person to talk to when it comes to points, to how the system works. You know what? I can tell you, zero. If I start focusing on any numbers, that's when everything starts going down. And I saw something with a basketball player, a girl that was an Olympian, and she said something that really resonated, and it was so good. And she said she won a gold medal in the last Olympics, and they were asking her, well, how do you feel about having to defend your medal? And she said, well, I'm looking to get something that I never had before, which would be another gold medal. And I thought, that is so cool. That's the best way of looking at it. You just have to keep trying to get something you never had before.
Hey everyone, John Wertheim here. It's this week's Sports Illustrated Tennis Podcast, Beyond the Baseline. Our guest this week is Allie Risk, coming off a very nice fall and a very nice 2016. She's currently ranked number 41, only one off her career high. She won 41 matches. We'll talk about her year. We'll talk about her coaching relationship. We'll talk about her romantic relationship too. She's engaged to Stephen Armitage of the USTA. And we talk a little bit about what it's like to compete at this level and at this level of your career. She was very candid. It was always a pleasure talking to her, and this was no exception. Let's get right to it, shall we, Jamie Lasanti? We shall. You're nodding in assent. Here
yes,
we go.
We shall.
Thanks. There we go. Allie Risk. Yeah, there. Your mic was off. Here she is now from Orlando. Allie Risk, how are you?
Hey, John. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Where are you?
So exciting. I can't wait for this.
I love how into media you are. I wish every athlete were as not jaded as you are. It's always a pleasure.
Well, I'm honored that people even want to do a pod. I mean, I'm just always surprised when someone wants to do anything with me. So I'm like, this is great.
You're the number 41 ranked player in the world. Who would not want to do something with you? We're happy to have you. Thanks for making the time. Where are you back in the States?
I am. I'm actually in Orlando right now. My fiance, I don't know if you know I'm engaged, but I'm engaged to Stephen Armitage, and he works with USTA. So he just moved to Orlando, and so I'm spending a good portion of my off-season down here.
Congratulations.
I was going to ask you about that.
As long as you brought it up, you want to start there?
Sure.
That's a happy topic. Sure. What's your ETA? When are you getting married?
I am getting married June 2018. That is the tentative schedule. We are yet to find a venue, but we're planning on my hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I'm very excited. I'm very overwhelmed. I feel like sticking to tennis is probably what I should do, and let my wedding planner and family plan the rest, because I can't handle the stress.
You've got a professional tennis career to worry about. You've got 18 months, though, right? So that gives you some time.
That is true. But, like, John, I can't even think about a venue. Like, just talking to the venue, I get a printout back. It's, like, so in-depth. And all the other people I have to talk to, the florist, get our food, the catering. It's just too much for me. So I just prefer to stick to tennis.
I got your place. Seriously, I'm not kidding. Have you ever been to the Have you been to the microbrewery in a church in Pittsburgh?
Microbrewery in a church?
It's
no.
The coolest place, and I told my wife, I'm like, if I ever lived here, this is where I would get married. Hold on, I'm going to tell you this right now. We don't often do this. This is a full service podcast we do here, Allie Risk.
Even though Pittsburgh's my hometown, you know, growing up, tennis and pool was my life. So I honestly didn't get to explore, and just in the last few years has it really kind of taken off, and we have a lot of cool new things. So I'm not too familiar with what's going on back home.
Churchbrew.com.
What?
I'm not kidding.
Churchbrew.com.
I'm showing this to Jamie. It's always good when you have a visual element on an audio show. But
is it a real church?
This is a real church that has been transformed. It's maybe 10 minutes from downtown in Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's now a microbrewery. Churchbrew.com.
Oh,
there.
Be my wedding planner?
I was going to say, it's a full service podcast we do here. anyway, there's also
awesome.
the back room at Promonti Brothers can accommodate 20, and there's a table for a footlong sub.
You know all about Pittsburgh.
I love Pittsburgh. That's one of these.
That is so
that's one of these
cool.
gem towns.
I didn't know that.
Seriously, churchbrew.com.
I've heard a few times. Just sports?
Yeah, just sports.
Just
the Pirates.
Okay.
What did I do?
That
the
is
Pirates.
So cool. Well, it is a good sports town, so you have a lot to cover.
It's one of those gem cities. Always like going to Pittsburgh.
I like hearing that. That's awesome.
But you're are you spending your base mostly in Orlando now because of Steven?
Exactly. I am, and I plan to do a physical training with the USGA, and then I will go to Toronto in December to be with my coach for the remainder of the time.
I want to be clear on this because there was always been confusion. Your fiance is not your coach.
That is correct.
All right.
However, I will say he does help me a ton. And I say he's co-coach. You know, Eve is definitely primary coach, but Steven helps me in so many ways. And I'd like to give him that title. He deserves it.
The title of co-coach.
Co-coach.
I like that. I asked you where you were physically. Where are you metaphysically? You're 41, which is, I just looked it up. It's only one off your career high. You're coming off a very strong fall. 26 years old. Are you you happy where things are trending?
I definitely am. I think this year for me was a huge year, I think, in a lot of different ways. But I take a lot of pride in the season that I had just because I had a lot of, you know, I'm just going to say trying times, even though, you know, they weren't exactly that difficult. But I didn't win a main draw match in a grand slam for the entire year, and yet I ended top 50. And for me, you know, that's really something that I take a lot of pride in. And obviously, I wish my main draw matches and grand slams had gone differently, but I was able to do it another way. And, you know, I'm very proud of that. And hopefully, you know, moving forward, I can use the confidence from this year to, you know, start solid at the beginning of the year, hopefully in Australia.
Did you know you knew your ranking before I told you that?
I did, yeah.
So is there part of you, I mean, I'm always curious how much players think about this stuff. I mean, if I were your coach, I would say, look at it this way. All you have to do is win one match, and you're defending nothing at all four majors next year, and you won 41 matches and almost made the top 40 without winning a match at a major. Is this something you go through, or is this not where your head is?
That is absolutely the first place from where my head is. I am the worst person to talk to when it comes to points, to how the system works. You know what? I can tell you zero. I mean, if I start focusing on any numbers, you know, that's when everything starts going down. And the moment you start thinking about defending too, I feel like that's the beginning of the end. And I saw something with a basketball player, a girl that was an Olympian, and she said something that really resonated, and it was so good. And she said she won a gold medal in the last Olympics, and they were asking her, well, how do you feel about having to defend your medal? And she said, well, I'm looking to get something that I never had before, which would be another gold medal. And I thought, that is so cool. That's the best way of looking at it. And I actually saw that in a magazine on a plane. but it really, I think it sums everything up. You just have to keep trying to get something you never had before. And it's kind of a hard thing to grasp. But the more you can focus on that, I think the better. And that's why I cannot start thinking about points defending. That's when things are very difficult.
What's something you've never had before?
Oh, gosh, that would be a lot. That is a lot. Every week is an opportunity to get something I never had before, whether it's winning, it's a new year, you know? So I feel like every week you can do something you've never done before and get something you've never had. And obviously, ranking-wise, I haven't had a lot. So, you know, there's always room to improve with that. But I just think every week is a new chance to get something that you never had. So it's definitely a mindset that you have to consistently work on. And I think my coach, you know, is extremely instrumental in that. And I'm forever grateful to him, because if it weren't for him, I feel like tennis for me would not be fun.
And you're talking, let's Give him a name check. You're talking about Yves Boulay.
Say that again.
Let's give him a name.
Name?
Yes, let's give him his
credit. My coach's name is Yves Boulay.
And you've been with him for a long time.
Toronto.
He's based in Canada, and you've been with him for what 10 years now, right?
I have, yeah. I started with Yves in Hilton Head when I was 14. When my sister was playing on tour, that was her coach when she graduated from Vanderbilt. And she tried to play on tour, and once my sister, was with him for a while and loved what she was getting from him, she thought, Ali, I think you should try him out too. And ever since, Yves has been a huge part of my career. And there were a couple of years there, I think the end of 2013 to the end of 2015, where I was not with him, and I really struggled. And I was, tennis for me was not fun. I didn't enjoy anything about it. And luckily, logistics worked out that I could go back with him. And, I hope that I'll be with him for the rest of my career.
Why is that? What does he give you?
Eve is, I look at him as a coach, obviously, for my tennis. And he is such he's such a student of the game. Like, Eve constantly is learning about tennis. He's looking up all the new stats and the new equipment that people use to track what's going on in the court, and just every type of statistical thing, Eve is on it. And so he's constantly learning, and any information that he's getting, he's giving it back to me. And he's very into motivating and just keeping my mind in check, which for me is the biggest thing. And he is a life coach for me, not just a tennis coach. And I hope that, the lessons that I've learned from Eve on the tennis court transfer over when I'm done, because he really has taught me a lot of just about life in general and being successful in whatever you're trying to do. And I could go on and on about Eve, because I really think that he is just the best, and I'm so grateful to him. And I really do believe that my career has been built because of Eve.
You're getting emotional talking about him.
I feel like I'm about to cry.
We can take a break. We're not live. We'll get back to Eve.
I'm gearing up.
I'm looking at your results. And you won a lot of matches, and you also had a lot of quality wins in here. Do you play the game that we all used to play in junior tennis of the indirect win? Do you say, I beat Kuznetsova, who beat Serena. Maybe I'm not that far from beating Serena. I beat, whoever, Tsibulkova, who
That's
took
so
down Radwanska.
Funny.
I mean, are you, you're...
That's so funny.
You're not playing
I
top
love
10.
That.
I know, but I'm looking at your results, and I'm thinking, if somebody... leaving the Grand Slams out of this, if somebody went through this, you would say this is somebody with top 10 capabilities. She's beating players who are either in the top 10 or beating players in the top 10. Why? Well, what's preventing Ally Risk from being a top 10 player? Do you let yourself go there?
Yeah, I definitely do. And I feel like that's where, Eve will bring me back to life and help me focus on the process. I do believe the sky's the limit, and, a part of me does go there at times. I try to take my mind away from it as quickly as possible, because obviously at the end of the day, my tennis has to be there and I have to be performing. And I think that's something, like you mentioned, is my match. I've had a lot of good wins this year, and I had a lot of wins, which I think it was my most winning year yet. And that fact is courtesy of my fiance, Steven. So he lets me, beware of my good facts, but he definitely told me that. And I think it's a step forward, because I think it shows that I am starting to compete a little bit more consistently. I qualify for a lot of the premier events, which, I've never done before. And, I had some tough first rounds. A lot of them were in three sets. And, that part's brutal. A lot of them were in three sets to top 15 players. And
right.
If I can just start snagging a couple of them and being in there at the end, I feel like that will kind of be the turning point. And that's why I think I had a win over Kuznetsova at the end of the year, and it was in three sets. And, you know, I was able to pull that out, which for me was a huge thing because I had a lot of tough ones during the year. So it was really big for me to kind of pull through. I was honestly upset that it was my last year of the tournament because I was ready to play more.
But, I was going to say, you must take pride in finishing as strong as you did.
I definitely do. I definitely do. Like I said, it was a great year for me. I definitely learned a lot, and I hope that, I can continue the consistency next year.
I was writing about this a few weeks ago. I get asked all the time, what is the story with Andy Murray? And he's screaming at his box, and then after the match, he's this thoughtful, measured, reasonable guy. And one of the theories I put out there is that when we're in these aroused states, and it can be sexual arousal, and it can be, it can be a physical confrontation, it can be competition, you're just not yourself. And there's a lot of research on that. How much do you feel like when you're competing, when the match is in progress, how different a person do you feel than the person I'm talking to right now? Does that make sense?
Well, the people that know me the most, they probably say not that different. I'm pretty difficult, pretty fiery, and I don't know. But, yeah, it's so true. I feel like sports, bring in a whole new dynamic, for competitors. And that's the beauty of it. It shows passion, and it shows, that we care. And I definitely think I'm slightly cooler off court than on. I'm pretty intense on court, and I feel like for me, I have to show a bit of emotion, a bit of fire, just to get myself in the competitive spirit. And some people go about it a different way, but for me, that's what works best. And off court, I can't say that I'm quite that fiery. So I'm slightly different.
You don't sound fiery.
A little bit more competitive on the court.
We are we are tracking this. You've got 2 full months off. And we often hear players talk about the off season, and I wish the off season were longer, and in my off season I did X. What is your off season like? I mean, I'm thinking you're basically shutting it down. You're not going to play another match for the next 10 weeks or so, right?
Correct.
So what is this? Correct. What is this time period like? I mean, are you staying in shape? Are you working on? Are you resting? Are you looking at analytics? Are you changing your diet? What is when a player talks about off season? What does that mean in tennis?
Yeah, well, I feel like this is a whole different off season for me. Let's say compared to last year, I'm in a very different place mentally. And so I think last year I was able to detach really quickly because I was ready for a break. I was ready to be done. Whereas this year, I had a little bit more success. I ended in a better place. And so my mind is still kind of on tennis. So I haven't fully detached, which, I'm not sure if it will happen, but I'm not worried about it too much. But I'm definitely taking 3 weeks. I'm in the middle of my second week off from not touching a racket. So the first week I didn't do any physical activity whatsoever. I just started back kind of jogging a little bit this week, doing just minimal exercises. And then the week after next, then I'll start the physical activity and do like 2-a-day fitness for 2 consecutive weeks. And then the tennis will begin again. So it's kind of, you do have so much time and you don't have to rush it. And all of us have played so much tennis in our life that unless you're making a huge change in your game, I don't feel like you necessarily need that many weeks of, grinding on the tennis court. Obviously, I'm going to do that, but probably not more than 3 to 4 weeks of that. So the timetable is very nice. Like I said, we get plenty of time off. In my opinion, I feel like the season is long, and our off season is long. And honestly, a couple extra weeks in there for people that would choose to, would like to play a little bit longer, I think would be beneficial. Not everyone would have to play, But it is a long off season, and you know, I am twiddling my thumbs a little bit, but obviously I have to take the time off and give my body a rest. So it's doctor's orders, but it is definitely nice to just have nothing to do for a little bit.
Start binge watching Transparent. That's my advice.
Yes.
I had to, I wanted to find your career high ranking. I often fight with the WTA website, so I'm embarrassed to admit I went on Wikipedia and I found out your career high ranking. But it also noticed this line. Her father, Al, was the first to take her out to play. He worked in the Secret Service before becoming an FBI investigator. I did not know that. Give me your...
he was a badass.
Give me your... What do you mean is? What do you mean was? I suspect present tense applies. What's your best Secret Service story?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I don't know if I can repeat a lot of the ones that went on. My dad's pretty crazy. He is a crazy man, and anyone that's met him will say he is certifiably crazy, but he's got the biggest heart that anyone's ever, you know, been around. But he was with presidents, he was with Bush Sr., he was with Clinton, he was with Reagan for a while, and he was on president detail, so he, you know, was with the president at all times, and he definitely had some crazy stories. But
I don't want to get you in any trouble.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
When you were growing up, and people said, "What does your dad do?" Were you allowed to say?
I was allowed to say. He actually retired when I was 3 years old. So, when I was three. That's exactly when I started playing tennis. So I don't know if that was lucky or unlucky for me, but I was then my dad's sole focus because my siblings were much older than me. And so my dad literally went into retirement and I was his next job.
Is that right? You could say you had you had Secret Service detail when you played junior tennis and you wouldn't have been lying.
Yeah, exactly.
What your fiance Stevens? You mentioned him, and he a vital part of USDA and player development. And I know that he's done a lot to sort of bolster the profile and importance of college tennis. But he's not going to be traveling with you. What is it like to have a fiance and you're globetrotting and he's not? How's that travel been?
Yeah, Steven, it's really awesome because obviously Steven has been around tennis for his whole life as well. And so he understands, you know, the lifestyle. His dad lived it. You know, his uncles obviously lived it as well. And so he gets it. And this is all, you know, this is what we've known since the beginning of our relationship. And we made it work. And, you know, Steven is so good about coming to tournaments when he can, taking vacation time and being there with me. And, you know, now that, you know, he's based in Orlando. Hopefully I can, you know, take a couple weeks here and there too and get back home. But it is different. But like I said, we're very lucky that we both are understanding of the situation and we've made it work. And I'm very, very fortunate for that.
I want to ask you about Angie Kerber.
Yes.
A year ago, if we'd spoken, we would say nice player, lefty, top 10, some nice wins here and there. We would not necessarily have picked her as the player to finish 2016, ranked number one, two majors, final of a third, Olympic silver medal. Do you see a player like that and find inspiration?
Oh, 100%. I think it's really cool what's going on in women's tennis right now. I feel like, you know, you have Angie Kerber, obviously, Radwanska has been, you know, a consistent, you know, top three player in the world. But you have so many different players that you might not have known, or might not have predicted, you know, what their future would hold. But they are absolutely, you know, taking the tennis world by storm. And I honestly, Angie Kerber is a perfect example. I think someone like Joanna Konta is just absolutely phenomenal for the sport. I mean, her story in particular, I feel like, is something that I admire so much. And, you know, I take a lot of inspiration from her story in particular. But, yeah, it's really fantastic. And I think a lot of players can take these stories to heart and kind of, you know, think, well, hey, if they could do it, you know, I could too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, we all, God bless Serena, but she's a once in a generation talent. But yeah, I mean, if I'm Allie Risk, I'm looking at Joe Conta and I'm saying, you know what? Tip of the cap to her, but if she can do it, why can't I?
That's true. That's very true.
What do you wish someone had told you before you took off on this line of work? What do you wish someone had told you about being a WTA Tour member and playing professional tennis that you would impart to someone else starting their career today?
I think something that has helped me, if you can fully grasp the idea that, you know, one match will not shape your year. And I feel like so many times, you know, you get put into a big situation against a big player and you think, oh God, okay, if I win this match, you know, meanwhile, let's take away the big situation. Let's just say it's a big match.
Right.
And you say, oh my gosh, if I win this match, you know, this is going to mean that, one, I'm playing well, that I have another opportunity in the second round, that people are going to think that I'm, you know, I'm doing, or that I'm playing well. If you, you know, can just focus on the process and nothing else, I really believe that it's very hard to grasp, and I have a hard time describing it even, but if you can grasp it, it is something that makes your world so much easier. It takes the stress off of the entire, off of everything. It really, truly does. If you cannot put emphasis on one particular match, if you say, oh, I'm playing Sam Stosur, if I win this match, and list all the things that it would mean. If you can just forget about that, it's one match, it literally doesn't matter. No one cares about what you're doing. No one cares. They really don't. And I think the more that you can take that, I think that it really, for me, it really relieved a lot.
That's really interesting. If I were going to give you a twist on that, I would say this. If you win one of those matches, it's amazing how the public forgets the losses and remembers the wins. So if Angie Kerber
That's
beats
right.
Serena Williams in the Australian Open final, she's redefined her career. And if she loses that match, that was a nice ride into the final and good for her. Let's see what she can do.
That's
it's actually
right.
Kind of works to your favor.
I agree with it 100%. And yes, there's always any match, you know, there might be a milestone if you win it. But you know what? You're not going to win it if you don't bring your level and you don't focus on the moment. If you focus on what people are thinking, what is going to happen after if you win, and what's going to happen here, it's literally taking all of your focus away from what you can do in the moment. And I just think that the more you can grasp it, it's amazing what it can do. And like you said, if Kerber wins that match, obviously it transforms your career. But at the same time, like you said, she's in the final last round. It's a win-win. And
right.
So I feel like there's always a win-win if you can look at it the right way.
All right, last question. 2017 will be successful if blank. From a tennis standpoint.
Right.
Not registering and finding a venue.
If Edith and I really do get married. No. 2017 will be successful if I stay in the process and I bring a consistent level of tennis week after week.
Good answer. This was fun. I'm telling you, I'm going to solve any of your wedding issues by telling you to check out Church Brew. But more importantly,
I am going to check that out, actually.
But more importantly,
you're invited, by the way, if we go there.
Hey, thanks. What if no? I noticed you're putting that pretty close. That's sandwiched between the French Open and Wimbledon.
Oh, it would It'll be after Wimbledon.
Oh, after Wimbledon.
This is in 2018.
All right. Then I'm there.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy your off season. Enjoy your downtime. I'll email you a few shows to binge watch. Stay away from divorce on HBO is no good. You don't want to watch that. But
do you watch Homeland?
I watch Homeland.
Oh, that's my favorite. I'm waiting for it to come back.
Are you all caught up?
I only watched the third season.
Oh. So what are you talking about twiddling your thumbs? You got two very good seasons to watch. You're home free.
Oh, man.
Catastrophe is underrated. All right. We will we'll see you in Australia in a new year, and you'll be you'll be building on your ranking of 41.
Thank you so much, Don. I'm so excited.
You're a great guest.
This was so nice of you.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
No, it was nice. Thank you for making the time. You are welcome back anytime. This also is going to sound like an infomercial for Yves Bollet. So I was nice to see we could name check him as well.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much. And thanks to Jamie as well. I appreciate her help.
Thank you.
That's Jamie. all right. Thanks, Allie. This was great. And we'll catch up soon.
That sounds awesome. Have a good one, guys.
You too. Take care. Hey, everyone, that was this week's Sports Illustrated Tennis Podcast. That was Allie Risk, great guest. Always a pleasure talking to her. If you have suggestions for where she should get married in Pittsburgh, you can feel free. I'm happy to play middleman. I'm John Wertheim. My producer is Jamie Lasanti. That was a nice conversation with a WTA player who's ranked 41 with a bullet because she's not defending a whole lot of points. So that's an American player to keep an eye on. Expect her to build on that ranking. That does it for this week. We'll do one more, I think, Jamie. Is that right? One more, and then we may take Thanksgiving off. But that is this week's Sports Illustrated Tennis Podcast. We'll be back in a week. Have a good one, everyone. Take care.